This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to Around Macoupin County. My guest on this weekend show is Paul Diesman, IDNR Forest Inventory Utilization and Marketing Manager. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
Paul, our topic of conversation today is, I guess we could say, measures that one might want to take when they're considering maybe the sale of trees or timber off of their property. Recently, IDNR put out some news about trees or lumber is at pretty high prices right now, and it's something that a landowner might want to think about if approached about selling his timber, and that's our topic of conversation today. If you would, maybe you could talk about timber prices and things like that and what's going on.
Well, Rick, timber prices are good, and I say that with the knowledge that most folks may not realize, we have some of the finest hardwood trees available globally, right here in Illinois, right here in central Illinois. And the timber's always in demand. Buyers buy millions of dollars worth a year. There's hundreds of thousands of board feet bought and sold every year in Illinois on our 4 million acres. But when prices are particularly this good, we get a lot of greed out there, and a lot of people reacting to dollars on the table, and we just want to caution landowners that their timber could be more valuable than they think, and they should probably approach it with a lot more knowledge than most people do.
A question I would have, obviously, there's legitimate companies that buy timber from landowners, and as you say, maybe some that are not quite as reputable. And is there maybe some red flags, you know, a little bit like we warn people about phone scams or something? Is there some red flags that someone approaches you about your timber that automatically should tell you, I better look into this?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And it is similar to, like you say, when someone wants to close a deal immediately, knocks on your door, wants to close a deal, wants to make a deal that day, that's a red flag. Also, a little bit of a red flag, depending on the arrangements, is getting paid later, you know, after the cutting. But there's a lot of great operators out there that's, you know, split proceeds. That's a very common way to do it. And, you know, sometimes there's a down payment involved. Depends how much, but you have to be cautious on the arrangements. The other is just handshake deals or poorly written agreements. In other words, the red flag is no contract or a really loose contract that gives you know, the timber buyer all the rights to do whatever they want and without really specifying what they're going to do. So, in summary, is, you know, a real general agreement that just signs over timber rights. You don't really want to sign your timber rights over to somebody, but you do want to maybe sell them trees. So, you know, maybe designate the trees, or you frame it out in writing, you know, how big a trees, what type of trees, how many, or how many acres, which acres, that sort of thing. It's good to have a contract or just an agreement in writing. It doesn't have to be very formal, but it has to be protect your interests.
I guess one should really pay attention to, like, for instance, have walnuts and hickory in addition to oak on the property. You might not want, say, your oak or hickory cut, or maybe you don't want your walnut and hickory cut. Can you do things like that when negotiating?
Absolutely. The landowner, really, landowners don't sell timber that often anyway. And it's really important to decide what to cut exactly. An aggressive timber buyer that's, you know, really wants your timber, you know, they may want a lot more than you're willing to cut. They also may want, from a, you know, like a more of a forest health standpoint, they may not consider forest health, and we may be. So we suggest that you, at that point, when you need to make hard decisions, that you should probably call a forester, you know, because there's plenty of timber buyers. Now, that's a separate list of people, and timber buyers are, there's some fantastic businesses, some great family operations throughout the state. There's no question about it. We have a lot of, you know, we're thankful for the forest industry that we have. But timber buyers, you know, are in a business of buying timber. Managing the forest is something you should probably do with a forester. And so foresters are available to help you make those decisions between oak and walnut. Which ones do we want to, what are we going to do in the future? That's the big question is if I could summarize the concern, you know, just in general, when you're selling timber, is what's the next forest going to look like? Some people don't care, and that's okay. But some people care a whole lot on what their forest is going to look like when you're done. And if you have enough forest land, you know, like, I don't know, 10 acres is probably the threshold. You should consider maybe getting some forestry opinion before, you know, just moving right to how much is it worth.
IDNR, through your forestry division, you provide a lot of help or can actually help individuals in making these decisions as far as an actual person to speak with?
Absolutely. In fact, Rick, that's kind of why we're here. I won't bore you with too many statistics, but 90% of the forest land in Illinois is privately owned. Folks like you and me, I sold a farm recently. We own the land. At 10 acres at a time, hundreds of acres at a time, the forest land, that is. And so those 4 or 5 million acres we have roughly, you know, almost 5 million acres of forest in Illinois. 90% of that's owned by folks like yourself. And so we do. We help any way we can. We have formal management programs. The biggest thing we really do that is the biggest service, if you have 10 acres of timber or more, you know, we'll come out and look at it, and we'll give you an opinion on everything from wildlife habitat to marketability of your timber to, you know, long-term forest health, you know, those sorts of things. And so we can give great advice so you can either, well, take the next step, which could be a formal management plan. It could be armed with knowledge, you know, moving off to working with a buyer if that's what you want to do, sell timber. We can help you manage your forest without selling timber. But it does depend on, every forest is different. But yeah, we'll come out and we'll also advise you how to work with buyers if that's a decision that's already been made by a landowner, or arm you with some good advice or lists and resources to work with the private consultants. It's a great opportunity. You can just call your district forester or you know, we have a directory of consulting foresters, and you know, they can do everything from appraise it to, you know, write a management plan to give you advice. Now, the DNR foresters won't appraise it formally. You can hire that done for a few hundred dollars, I think, or depends on how much land you have. But we'll certainly tell you the marketability of it, like whether you should be selling timber, whether, you know, the timber sale is what you envisioned it would be, or maybe what the forest might look like after you do this harvest or you do some sort of other management practice on your land. And anymore, really, Rick, I mean, and you probably could tell me this, landowners really are interested in managing for wildlife, and we're interested in helping them do that by managing the habitat. So we like to help landowners regenerate their woods with oak and hickory, and there's other things we battle in the woodlands these days, invasive species and so forth. But, yep, we'll come out, and we'd love to do so. We have a waiting list, depending on what county you live in, and, you know, but we can get out pretty quick, and we'll always talk or email on the, you know, first with the landowners.
Say someone is approached and they haven't yet contacted you. Do they have time, like if somebody comes up and says, hey, we'd like to purchase this, blah, 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 can they maybe get a hold of you to where you guys could help them make a little more informed decision if it was sort of a quick thing, should that happen?
Yeah, and that hints back to your other question, which I don't know if I fully answered, but the landowner is in control. Like, you know, back to the walnut oak question, a buyer's at your door. He wants all the oak, walnut, and hickory, and you only want to sell him the hickory. Then that's what you talk about, and that's what you sell him. Same thing when they're at their door and you haven't already talked to a professional, you know, you might be able to get a hold of us right there, right that day, or email one of us. I do take those calls. Our foresters take those calls on a fairly regular basis where, hey, they had a timber buyer there this morning who was coming back this afternoon hoping to make a deal, and you're going to let them come back this afternoon. You know, what do you tell them? We could certainly give you some advice. And we'll probably start with asking, you know, how much timber do you have? You know, what sort of timber do you have? And, you know, then we can start to paint a picture, and then we'll look for red flags. So you still, when they're at your door and you didn't hear this radio show and you didn't read the news release and you don't know, but you know that maybe you can get an opinion, yeah, do call. We would want you to call. We're really available as far as we all have emails. We all have desk numbers, and we're not always at our desks, but, You know, it's not hard to get a hold of somebody in the forestry division. Most of us statewide can answer a general question if you actually have the forester on the phone. General meaning to your situation.
When negotiating that contract also, would you recommend that they also do anything about what is left after they take the trees? Because I know a few owners had a real mess a few years ago in that they came in and, they took out some trees, but they sure left just an unbelievable mess that the landowner had to clean up. Can you work with that in a contract as well?
Oh, yes. Yes, you can. And we have some general, what they call best management practices. I know a lot of industries use that term, but practices that are about like soil, water, land, conservation, how to grade out a logging road if one was created, what specs kind of to repair ruts. What we see a lot of time is damage to occasionally fences, and those are important to a lot of farmers, landowners, and then ruts, right? Or trees in the creek, or other messes that could be created. And yeah, you always want to have in there that they're responsible for returning the roads or any access that they use back to its original condition. And for a farmer, no trees and sticks and logs out in the field, and unless it's a specifically designated spot, a farmer is not going to need a single top out in a field where they're going to be in there in the spring ready to till it up. So the tops are always there, Rick. Sometimes you can actually put in the contract that they do or don't do something with the tops. Now, you don't really want to drag around tops through the woods. They can be bucked up, but that's an expense, and that would be something you negotiate. But certainly to clean up the mess should be right in a very, very basic written contract. That very basic agreement should say, what you're cutting, when you're cutting, how much you're getting paid, and when, that the operations are going to be cleaned up by the cutter, by the buyer, and everything, in order when they leave, and then it's a done deal. But yeah, those are something you definitely want to put in a contract.
We are talking with Paul Diesman, IDNR Forest Inventory Utilization and Marketing Manager. And Paul, as we come to the end of the program, we've been talking about various things that can happen with buying of one's trees off their property and clean up. But as you say, the best thing is to contact a member of IDNR. And what are some of those ways people can get a hold of you if they need your help concerning the sale of timber?
Well, we have a map of our field offices on the DNR website, and it has email addresses you can click once you open the map. There is a desk number for each of our foresters, and they all have voicemail, or they might pick right up. You can also are welcome to call me here at the DNR office, and I can get them in touch with their district forester. I can also advise them on working with other foresters and or answer their questions on timber. My number is 217-782-3376, and I even leave my cell phone number on my recording. If I'm not at my desk, you can listen to my recording and dial my cell phone. We also have a website where the public can just ask questions to the DNR webmaster, and they get them to us, which is really convenient. I've answered, I think, 10 since last week of just individuals who wrote through the website. That map of district foresters on our website is the best way to find out who that person is in your county.
Paul Diesman, thank you for joining us on Around Macoupa County this weekend.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, Rick. I've enjoyed it, and thank you very much.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition for WSMI. I'm Rick Davis.